Hello, everyone, and we are here on the 22nd day of April, a beautiful, beautiful day to just be in love with life and offer blessings into whatever life has brought us, because we actually can make lemonade out of any lemon we pick off the tree. And there's really, there really doesn't have to be any such thing as a bad day if we really do it with God. So I want to just welcome everyone, first of all. And secondly, I'd like to take some calls from our community. Stormy, I see that you're on, and welcome back. I've missed you.
My heart has been going pretty slow here, like a 1-2 stop, 1-2 stop, so I've been quiet.
Okay. Well, I hope that, well, if there's a blessing you need for that, please let us know.
As I said once before, I'm content.
Okay. I know you are. You are one of the content people I've ever known.
Really enjoy what you're doing, and I'll just listen and be playing my music in my heart.
Okay. Well, we'll be listening to your music in our hearts. How's that?
What more could one ask for?
Okay. Well, many, many blessings to you, Stormy, and much happiness. I hope that if this is a health challenge that you're talking about, you will receive some blessings today to help you out with that.
I am willing to receive as much as I give.
You know, Stormy, that's an important thing to say, because a lot of times we get into giving, 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 and we don't realize that the receiving is not, the receiving in return, shall we say, is not just automatic. We have to actually, as Yeshua said, knock and the door will open, ask and you shall receive. We think if we give, we'll just automatically receive in return. And then we can actually get a little bit lost for faith, shall we say. I'm not saying bitter or resentful, but just a little lost for faith. Like, well, why isn't something coming back to me? And people say this quite a lot to me in their counseling sessions, and I say back, did you ask? But I shouldn't have to. And what they don't realize is that, yes, you do, because we all were given sovereignty over our life. And we all have these almost invisible boundaries that protect our free will and our integrity and our light and our unique place in the universe. And just like if there came a high rain, you wouldn't want sand for the street washing into your front yard. Well, it's the same with everything. We need to really ask, and that's what's so important about prayer. It's important for so many reasons. One of the reasons is that it keeps us in closer communion with God. The other is that it gives us an opportunity to realize how much we're loved by God. And then it actually gives us an opportunity to take a look at what it is we really, really want and need. Sometimes we think we want a lot of things, and it's just because we saw an ad on television, or we saw somebody else have it, or we were walking in the store and it looked good and we thought, gee, that would be fun. But if we disconnect from that totally and come from the center of our being, is that what we would select for our life? In so many cases, the answer is no. And it's really hard to be dishonest with God. When we pray, we'll be put into the honesty of what we actually need and want. So, Stormy, as always, you were an inspiration, and I wish you all the best in everything. And I'm going to take a call from Susan. Hi, Susan. You're on.
Hi, Glenda. How are you and how is Larry?
Well, I'm doing fine. A little bit exhausted, as any caregiver can relate to, I'm sure. But very, very happy that every day he does a little more for himself, and every day he gets a little stronger. So we're in what I would call a real strong positive recovery mode. And right now, that's about all we can ask for. But we know it's going to keep on getting better and better, so that's all good.
Good.
You, Susan?
Yeah, I'm okay. I went to open my, I have somebody who helps me to open my pond. I've had this pond maybe 25 years or so. And most of the fish are dead. And some of them are like 20 years old. So I went, oh, geez, did I do something wrong? Did I wait a few weeks too long to open it? And I don't know. It's just.
You're talking about a pond of water, right?
Yeah, I have like a pond that's maybe 6 feet, 100,000 gallons. And I mean, we had so many challenges, from birds to animals coming underneath, and we always met them, my husband and I, with nets and this and that. And since he passed, I had somebody who comes and helps me, and I mean, one fish is like 20-something years old, and I went, oh, my God.
My goodness.
So just like they're all gone, and I'm thinking maybe one or two are left, and I'm thinking maybe just making it a pond with some, plants, or doing something different, but I don't know. I want to just shove it off, and there's a piece of me that says, why make it a big deal? And I know that voice is, I can't listen to that voice. I cannot listen to that voice. I mean, I hear it, and I'll say, thanks for sharing, but, take a hike. Really, I just thought I would just put it out there. I could use a blessing. So,
okay, Susan, we will bless your fish.
Yeah, thanks.
That was Yeshua multiplied the fishes. And maybe we'll just ask him to come and multiply your fishes.
Oh, God.
Actually, a blessing is a form of spiritual abundance, because whenever a blessing is given or received, there's always a multiplication of something that was already there. Yeshua didn't create the loaves of bread out of thin air. He took a loaf of bread and he multiplied it. I asked him how he did it, and he said, I took one and loved it enough. And whenever he would heal somebody, he would tell them, it's your faith that made you whole. Now, that could mean a lot of things, of course, and that is that our union with God is our ultimate source of healing and blessing, and that's true. But faith also doesn't start from thin air. It starts from something, a memory of maybe childhood when things were perfect, or some spring morning when you just felt great, something you focus on that you know is a template of perfection. And you focus on that and create a wholeness out of it. This is completely born up. This idea is substantiated by science that tells us our entire universe is holographic. That means any one part of it that could be sliced out could be turned into the whole of everything. So, anytime we can remember something that was really good and really positive, and we focus on that, we can expand that focus into a whole new creation of it being perfect again. This is how there are some lobsters and shellfish in the ocean recreate legs because the template for recreating them is there. We humans seem to have forgotten that we have that ability. I'm not saying that we could lose a leg in a bombing incident and just create a new leg. But what we can do is we can recreate a new life that was just like it was before we lost our leg. And so many people have demonstrated that that's possible. Well, Susan, I hope that gives you inspiration for your fish pond. Was that it for today?
That should do it.
Okay.
We're starting next week with the with the class, correct?
Yes, we are. And I think this would be the message that you brought in, the message I replied, would be a good time to say something about that class. The whole of this year in our webinars is devoted to the key elements contained in the Lord's Prayer, which summarize the whole of Yeshua's teaching. Our first one was, "Thy will be done." And you can just imagine how much of his teaching could really be telescoped into that one phrase if we looked at everything else he said and examined all that it meant. So the next one will be our daily bread. What does that mean? Does it mean we're praying for abundance? What does it mean? And in comparison with everything he taught, I would say it really means help us to have a way of life that supplies our daily needs. You know, all of us can get off center. And I'm sure you know what that means, what it feels like. We could get off center for a lot of reasons. One is maybe we just lost our best friend, so we don't want to go back to our favorite places for a while. Some could mean we lost a loved one in death. We don't want to go back to those places for a while. Another way is maybe we've been sick and we don't feel like doing our usual things. So we get in an off-center, poor me or grumpy mood, and it's really hard to get back on our feet. Sometimes we just get upset with life for all kinds of reasons. Sometimes our metabolism, that is our body mechanical chemical system, could just get off, and it causes our thinking to be off. We get off-center. When we get off-center within ourselves, we get off-center with life. And when we're off-center with life, the opportunities just don't happen like they should or could. And what I've learned in my life is the first thing to do is to get back on-center with life. But in order to do that, we have to first take a really good look at what is our center of life. What have we chosen for our life? What do we need in order to make our way of life the way we want it to be? And I promise you the answer is not winning the lottery. The answer is not finding your true love. There's probably nothing that would knock you off your feet more than finding your true love. That's been a proven fact. Sometimes people just go wacky in every other part of their life when they find their true love, and it takes them quite a while to get back on center. One of the things I find so necessary in counseling couples who have just passed the mark where it's no longer a honeymoon and they're wondering, did something go wrong? And I help them to see that actually things are starting to go really right, but you've got to manage them. Now it's time to build your way of life together. You see? And it could be the same thing about a new job. It could be the same thing about moving to a new home. Oh, wow, everything is so great. The drapes are perfect, et cetera, et cetera. And I've been so, you know, I've been making everything perfect, and wham, bang, here comes a hurricane. Now, I'm looking at what it's really like living on the south coast of Texas and what a way of life has to look like down here. Was that a bad thing that happened? Yes and no. Yes, in that there was a lot of destruction. But no, in that it was also a great initiation for me to see if I'm suited to live down here. So, finding our way of life is the first thing to finding our bread of life. There's a lot of wisdom that goes into this, other than just, how do I manifest money tomorrow for my bank account? That's not what this course is about. It will help you manifest a lot more than you ever dreamed, but it won't do it like so many less enlightened people think it's done. Okay? It will teach you how to have your real boots on so that you're really walking on the earth and you're really doing life your way and the way God created you to do life. Because he created you to be in perfect harmony with the life you're meant to live. But finding that life is the work some of us just forgot to do. And it's time we really did it. Okay. Well, thanks for the inspiration, Susan, as always. And I see that Nancy is on the call. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Linda.
Yes, you're on.
This afternoon, I have a special request for a blessing. My sister-in-law was diagnosed with lung cancer in early April, and she's going to begin immunotherapy on the 26th of this month. So I'm calling to ask a blessing for her.
Okay. What is immunotherapy?
I can't tell you in detail, but I believe it is kind of a customized therapy where they enhance your own immune system so that it is better able to fight the cancer.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love hearing that that exists. And I'm going to look it up because actually it leads me to exactly what I was going to say, again, just to reiterate, is your faith is what makes you whole. It doesn't matter whether it's vitamins we take or penicillin we take or radiation that we may take for cancer. We've got to believe in it. And anything you do, any therapy you do that you don't believe in won't help you. The fact is, I really do not. I would not personally ever do chemotherapy because I've seen too many negative side effects from it. And I've seen it actually kill too many people as opposed to healing them. But for some people, it has worked miraculously. And in every case, those are people who really believed in it. I've seen too many negative things about it, so I have to disqualify myself from that therapy. But there are therapies I believe in. And so I would always select the ones I believe in. Because you have to align what you do externally with what you can hold on to internally, with what you can be completely engaged in prayer with and have absolute certainty that you're doing the right thing.
Exactly.
And so, when you do that, I really actually believe saltwater crackers would heal you.
I think that's true.
I really think so. Sometimes we just need that physical action so that our bodies can have something to hold on to. because it's not enough. Our bodies say to our emotions, well, yeah, I know you feel that way, but you've let me down too many times. You thought you were in love and we weren't. Okay. Or your body will say to your mind, well, you thought you had it all figured out and you didn't get it right, so I don't believe in you either. So it really helps to take a second person in to our healing protocol, whether it's a holistic person or a medical professional. It really helps to take in perhaps some form of therapeutic or chemical assistance, because our body likes to pair with the things that it believes in. So you got to give your body something to pair with. And I have really observed that this is necessary. At the same time, the most important thing is being right with yourself. And that's what we do to help you with the blessing, is that we help you to have the comfort, the relaxation, the sense of release and confidence to just receive the love, the blessings of God, the energy of the Holy Spirit, and become more perfectly aligned with all of your own healing possibilities. So we ask that. What is your friend's name?
She's my sister-in-law. Her name is Ann.
Okay. And her name?
Ann.
Ann.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Nancy, many blessings to her and to you, too.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I see Tony's on the line. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Glenda. Hey, love and blessings to you and Larry. It's good to hear Larry.
Thank you.
You bet. And I was able to log on. I'm able to get in there. I can see what's going on. I just thought I'd let you know. I wanted to mention that there's something really cool going on in the sky. There's a significant asteroid which has a 51-year cycle. It's called Chiron. It has a lot to do with connecting with our soul purpose and deep level of healing. Well, that's starting a new cycle for everybody. It's
really?
Just entered 0 degrees of Aries. Yeah, I just noticed it last night. But a friend of mine had told me about it about a year ago. It's coming up on Aries. So it just got in there. So like within the last couple days. So that's nice. It's something that we can kind of focus on and watch for signs of a new level of connection to our relationship with our soul and with our deep purpose and also with healing issues. Those big challenging issues that tend to really take us, further into our journey. Also, Judy had something in particular that she wanted to mention real quick. Judy, what did you want to do it? Judy was going to tell us, maybe she'll say a word or two about it. It was something that she was connecting with about homeostasis that was really significant that you had mentioned once or twice. And she connected with that and just wanted to mention something about it. I'll pass the phone to her.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi.
We had done a ceremony to kick off the year, and we each picked an angel card, and mine was balance. And
uh-huh.
So when you sent the email about the class and mentioned homeostasis, that just really spoke to me. And it seems like a lot of issues still come up, but it's an opportunity to rebalance my response to that. And with Chiron, too, healing it and moving on better and balanced.
Oh, that's great. And just for everyone else so they understand, homeostasis is about balance. But
mm-hmm.
It's about our ability to lose balance and recover it.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you might call balance in motion.
Yeah,
in other words, in order to be a dancer, you have to have very good homeostasis.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
It's funny. Yeah, I've had some issues where when I walk, I'm kind of, it's like I'm drunk. There's something wrong with my vestibular system, and so I kind of walk off to the side, so my balance has been off. So it's interesting that that's been going on, too, but that's been better, so.
You know, I had that also after each one of my hip replacements. And so in therapy, they would have me on this balance board and work on that until I – there actually is a place in your spine. I've forgotten exactly where it is, but it – and in your brain that controls homeostasis. And it's a good thing to have your physical balance working because it helps to trigger other forms of balance that are not so easy to observe. It's not easy always to observe when we're chemically out of balance. All we know is we can't lose weight very easily, and we don't well. You know, and we're not digesting our food well, but we can't exactly figure out where all that's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
It's some form of imbalance. And restoring your physical balance is always a good thing to do. And one thing we can always do through prayer or meditation is restore our spiritual balance.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So,
working on that.
Thanks for that contribution.
Thank you.
That's a great one. And we have a caller from area code 828. You are on.
Hi, Glenda. This is David from Albuquerque, and I'm glad to hear things are going better for you and Larry. And, you know, I totally feel aligned with when praying for and nurturing those seeds of integrity. And I have an experience, a victory experience, that I believe kind of fits with that. And I'd like to share it. About a few decades ago, I went from sea level to 10,000 feet to a volcano, and my dad was driving kind of erratically. And here I was, a strapping late 20s guy, muscular, very fit. I get to the top of the volcano, I get out, and I collapse.
Oh, no.
I thought it was the altitude, and I never knew. We went down to 7,000 or 8,000 feet, and I was fine. Well, since then, I've had a fear of altitude. Even when I was a business traveler in the early 90s and doing service, I try to make my trips so I wouldn't have to go through, like, Denver or any place like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, fast forward to 2 years ago, my girlfriend says, oh, we're going to Albuquerque, and I'm like, that has altitude. I was afraid to go to Denver. I was afraid, and so all this fear, all these voices were talking to me about how it's going to end badly. Well, I got out there and I was fine, but there's still some things that really scared me, and that was, you know, like even going to 7,000 feet, I'll do it, but I like to be with somebody. And I had to go to Santa Fe last weekend for a conference, and it was 7,000 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I train at 6,100, I was scared. And I went over, said, Janice, will you go over there to 7,200 feet with me? And I just want to get used to it. She says, no, we're going to the top. And I tell you, I knew that there was no backing down. The top here is 10,678 feet. And I knew that I would never live it down. You know, I know. And so... I could only see the worst.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that I would be unconscious, possibly vomiting, or all the worst things that I could imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to jump out of that car. And I was praying to Yeshua, and I was asking for all kinds of support. But there was a sense of love, certainty, and focus that, and you know, there was some screaming going on, too, to move the energy. We got to the top. And I realized, I turned to Jen and said, there's air up here. We got out and we walked around probably up to 10-7. I said, there's air here. And I was fine. And I realized that I had let those negative voices run my life for the last couple, you know, several decades. And And even the next day when I drove to Santa Fe, they tried to come back and, you know, try to undo all the progress the day before. But the victory was, stood in that courage and went to the top. And then saw the patterns play out over the next couple of days. And I'm thinking, okay, so this was great. I'm grateful for the spiritual support. I called on everybody. I mean, literally, I called on every light being I knew just to support me, and I was fine. So here, then the question, the takeaway then was, well, who's generating all these voices? Is this ego? Is this random spirits that don't have bodies that we just happen to listen to? Or, you know, what is this? Because I've heard from the whole spectrum of the negative self-talk is something within us, or the negative self-talk is something we're part of that collective consciousness and we hear it. But I realize that I'm having to stay very vigilant and nurture those seeds of integrity so I don't nurture those, the negative. And just your comments, please.
Okay. Well, my comment to you is you're very lucky and very blessed that you got to see what happens to everybody that the rest of us don't get to see. Your voices were audible, so you could hear them. Your reactions were palpable, so you could feel them. You would be surprised how many people shy away from life opportunities, and they don't know why. They don't feel the fear, but it's there. They don't hear the voices, but they're there. There are voices of fear inside all of us, including Yeshua. He would go to the, I think one of the reasons he went to the desert for prayer and fasting is the same reason a lot of shaman do that to this day and have through the centuries, because when you put your body under extremely high stress, if there's a negative voice, you'll bring it out. Yes. And they do it like putting a poultice on a wound. They do it to draw out the voices. They go into sweat lodges in order to draw out the voices because they want to hear them. It's sort of like, if there are negative voices going on, I want to know about it. I want to hear about it. Well, you were blessed in that you got to know about it. So what you experienced is no worse than most people have. There are very few people that don't have negative voices going on inside. They just don't get to hear them.
That's good to hear. I've heard them since I was 3 and 4 years old, and they were trying to separate me from God. And that was, I've learned to live with it.
That's what all negative voices do. And people who don't hear them learn to live with those voices. And that's why so many people just can't feel God, can't see God, don't know what to do, wouldn't know how to pray. And if they could just hear those voices like you did, then they could deal with it. So it took a lot of courage to do what you did. And just remember what it felt like overcoming them. And now you can say to them exactly what Yeshua did. Get thee behind me, Satan.
That's what it felt like. And we were both feeling that too. Like that was, Janice was very, she says, they're not liking me right now. Because it was transformative. I'm still, I feel like I'm still kind of, you know, my whole life has changed since that. I'm still reorienting, and that's, thank you for listening.
Oh, I'm sure you will continue to reorient, but you will find your center. And when you find your center, you will, so apparently this whole call has been about homeostasis. We just didn't know it when we started it. Yeshua picks the topics, and we just follow it.
Yes.
But thank you, and congratulations on your victory. That's a marvelous, marvelous state of accomplishment because it's something you can refer to for the rest of your life. And you may get over this problem and it, and you forget it and you say, oh, all of those voices are gone, but they could come back on another issue. So yeah. Just know what it feels like to get rid of them.
Exactly. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. You're welcome. Well, it is about that. In fact, we're past that time. It's time that we offered a blessing to all of you here, to your families, your friends, your community, your loving companion animals, your true loves, your friends, and everyone you would pray for and everyone we put on our list. The blessings don't stop with you. Just like I'm going to stand up in a few minutes and I'll be with a large number of blessing givers around the world. They're not all here every Sunday all the time, but a large number of them are. And so we're going to be around the world offering the blessings. But what are we doing? We're not generating those blessings. It comes from God. It comes from Christ. It comes from the Holy Spirit. We're kind of like that DirecTV dish that could be on your roof, or maybe you use a different company, or maybe you use a different kind of satellite signal. But anyway, there's a receiver, and that receiver is also a conveyor, because it doesn't just receive a signal and keep it, it receives it and conveys it. Well, you're going to be like that also. The blessings that are offered to you will be given to you, into you, to use as you need. And a lot of them will pass on through you into the community, into your family and your friends. And people are just going to feel better around you. And one of the things I like to do to trigger that domino effect is I like to look at people and smile. You don't have to say a word, just smile. And they'll wonder, why did she smile? What's that all about? Did my pants just fall off? Of course, you know, there's the negative voice coming in again. But I just smile and, you know, just walk on. And I know that they feel better. How many times do we go through the day and we don't smile at each other or say hi or how are you? Or, you know, I remember when I was a little girl, it was back in the days when a lot of men wore hats. They, the businessman men wore fedora hats, or and the workmen would wear bill caps or some other kind of working cap. But most men wore hats most of the time. And they would meet somebody and tip their hat just a little bit. And tipping your hat was a sign of regard, respect, courtesy. And it was just a nice thing to do, and sometimes the tipping of the hat would be accompanied by a good day, a how are you, or a slight smile, and just made things go so nice. You know, it was like a Norman Rockwell kind of world. And we're so busy today, we forget about those simple things. But simple as they are, they're very important. And I know we don't wear hats, but we have other ways of gesturing. So what I'd like you to do right now is just relax. Be in your chair. Be open. Turn your mind off. There's a switch up there, and just flip it to from the on to the off switch and stop the thoughts. Just let whatever wants to flow in, flow in. And don't worry about whether it's positive or negative, because sometimes, you know, the negative has to be flushed out in order for the positive to flow. Sometimes when I start my garden hose for the first time in the spring, it flushes out mud before the clear water happens. So just don't put attention on whatever happens. Just let it flow. And be in your heart, feel the feeling of blessing, and pray. Just be with God. And I'm going to start this with a prayer to Yeshua. Dear Yeshua, beloved, brother to us all and Son of God, the one who came to teach us that it's okay to be fragile and frail, to have problems. You sat with the least of us. You walked and talked with the hungry and the poor and the sick. You healed us. You made us feel okay about anything because you knew that deep inside was a seed planted by the same Father we all have, the Creator of life and all of life. You helped us to find that seed by teaching us about the seeds of life. You helped us to look inside and know that whether it's a seed of a plant or the seed of ourself, it has to be watered. It has to be nourished. It has to be blessed. We ask you now to be with each one on this call, each one in their family and their circle of friends and their community, to nourish and water the seeds of these beautiful lives, that the seeds may grow. And whatever weeds may be trying to crowd out the soil and keep them from reaching up to the sun, just pull them out of the ground. Get them out of the way, that people may feel the wondrous joy and beauty of their life, each one of their lives, as a child of God. We ask now for your blessings. We surrender into the peace of our heart, into the serenity of our soul, into the place where we really are all one family. And we receive blessings from you and from each other who are doing better. And we offer blessings to those who are doing not so well, because we know that there's more than enough goodness to go around if we would just scoop it up in spades and spread it around the earth. We thank you for your never-ending love. We thank you for being with the lonely and for healing the sick and for being with us here now. Amen. Blessing givers, let us begin. Your blessing is complete. Now, go and make it complete perfectly for you by resting and receiving. Just be alone. Be still, be quiet, be at peace. Don't even think. Just receive. Just like you would if you were asleep. And it's okay if you fall asleep. So, bye-bye for now. Much love to you. And I look forward to being with you next week.